You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to hug you, touch you, yes I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, ask me if you know what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. I promised you we'd be back, and we are back. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time. We start at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. that is, on the Pacific Coast, and 8 p.m. on the East Coast. And we go till 11 p.m. East Coast, and you can do the math. You can do the rest of the math, but we have great guests every single week. There's lots of knowledgeable people out there. It's hard to believe that we're getting our backsides handed to us by the globalists because we have so many good people fighting on the side of the patriots. We have so many people fighting for Constitution, truth, liberty, and our Christian heritage. But we are losing, folks, and we need to try to mount this army of public opinion so we can take back at least a measure of what we've lost. Well, we're going to go into an area, and I've been alluding to this now a couple of times in the first hour. We're going to go into an area in this segment with a very, very good friend of mine, a very trusted, a very credible journalist and author, and someone who really is friends with anyone who is who's who in the independent media. And I'm speaking about Sheila Zielinski, and we'll give you all her information in just a second because you're going to want to go to her website. She's often referred to as the weekend vigilante. I call her the everyday vigilante because if you're a bad guy and you get in her way, she kicks your butt. She takes names and kicks butt. And it's my privilege and pleasure to have her on, and we're going to go down a path that's going to be very unique. Sheila, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening.
Well, it's my pleasure, Dave. Very good to be on your program, and a shout out to all your listeners.
Yeah, just great to have you. And it's just mind-boggling to me that, well, let me say this. How do I say this without sounding like a complete moron? I have gone in broadcasting now. We're going on 9 years. And I have never really fully explored the ET, you know, the extraterrestrial UFO issue. But Sheila, I believe in predictive programming. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago where I showed the TV show Legends, airing on Monday nights on TNT. They actually had a terrorist event in Paris, and it was eerily similar. And the event itself being in Paris was out of genre for the show, which is now being run out of London. And they're just like they took a right turn just so they could cover this one event. And the production on this was 6 months prior to the event and aired the weekend after. So I do believe in predictive programming, but we're not going to go in that direction. Sheila, let me just start out with what I think is predictive programming. And that is what we're seeing in the media regarding extraterrestrial events. Are you seeing any of the same thing that I'm seeing, or am I just seeing ghosts?
No, I don't think you're seeing ghosts at all here. I think predictive programming, you just nailed it. That is really what's happening. Slowly we're being acclimated here, Dave, to this scenario. And I call this scenario one that's coming fast and furious. Certainly your listeners are probably familiar with Steve Quayle. Tom Horn, the renowned Dr. Tom Horn, really covers this predictive programming in his book Exobanacana. But one of the things he also talks about, now when you say ET, Dave, alien, that word alien means not human. Certainly it describes a litany of creations, aliens to some, demons to some, genetic hybrids to others, fallen angels to some, but still, I guess whatever the case, they are entities. And I don't have a problem with the word alien or ET because that's what they are. They're alien to us, the human race. The question is, what's their true origin, Dave? Are they another race of a higher form from another planetary system? Are they another species of a galaxy? Or more often what's alluded to is a whole other solar system dweller altogether. So some sort of inhabitant with what's usually we're kind of acclimated to this idea that they have superior intelligence and technology, or are they coming from the spiritual realm? And that is where I lean, Dave, is the spiritual realm.
I fall on the side that it is fallen angels. I know some people think they're intradimensional. Some people think that they're extraterrestrial. In other words, they're from our plane, but from a faraway planet. I tend to fall on the side that this is a great deception promoted by Satan, designed to bring about a new world order, and these are going to be the harbingers of doom that step us into this.
Well, I not only agree, but I think you got to remember that aliens, and I'm very firm on this, that aliens, they're not benevolent entities. They're hybrid chimera, fallen angels, as you just mentioned. They procreated and made these weird transgenic hybrid offsprings with human women known as the Nephilim, not to be confused with demons. Demons are disembodied spirits. Remember, Dave, that a third of the angels rebelled with Satan in his bid to corrupt humanity. And now if you look at the term watcher, and most people can find this in the Book of Enoch, the extra-biblical text known as the Book of Enoch that was written by Enoch, the great-grandfather of Noah, it gives us an account of this incursion in the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha, of course, Peter and Jude both allude to that in the canonical Bible. And in fact, Daniel, too, in the canonical text found in the Book of Daniel, when he refers to the angels or sons of God, they're heavenly messengers. So these watchers that I'm speaking of, there's powerful angelic beings, these 200 watchers that came down to Earth on Mount Hermon. They tinkered with the genetic makeup of all life on Earth. And we see this also alluded to in Genesis 6:4. There's a lot of information, of course, we don't understand, but let's just say these fallen angels, through the introduction of their, let's call it, genetic material, as in Genesis 6, created these hybrids. So not just with the women, but with plants and animals, Dave, and this is where some of the ancient legends and mythology, the oral traditions come in, like the Minotaur, the lion men of Moab, the Greek mythology gods, the Canaanite tablets actually talk about these mating of animals and the god Baal. So it might be that the fallen angels conceived Raphaim as well as this hybrid chimera and these other mythological type of creatures. Now, this is similar to what we're seeing today, Dave, with the melding of species in this transhumanist movement that you and I have talked a lot about, trying to sort of create this human 2.0, replicate man. I mean, create man. Man is not going to be created in God's image anymore, Dave. We're going to be genetically altered, mutated, whatever, this sort of DNA tampered into the point of being not even sanctioned by God. Because you got to remember that God has made some entities, and this is a stunning statement. Think about this, folks, for a minute. These entities that Dave and I are talking about are unsanctioned and illegitimate species that are not made by God Almighty. That's quite frightening, isn't it?
Well, it really is. In fact, let's go back in time. And I wrote about this week in an article, roughly from my memory. It's a former CIA operative talks about ET's walk among us. And he was also of the opinion, I believe, that he thought that they were fallen angels. But I'm speaking about two gentlemen who really educated me on this topic, Bill Pollack and Vance Davis. And Vance Davis was of the NSA. And Vance Davis, fascinating, fascinating guy. He was assigned to NATO. And he came across information that we were encountering, quote, the species from other places. And he said there was more than one, and they didn't necessarily have our best interest at heart. And he was later, after he went through some trouble with the government over the fact that he wouldn't go along with their agenda, he went on the lecture circuit for a while, and he was on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. First time I heard him. And then I contacted him, and we struck up a friendship. And what he told me, Sheila, was absolutely amazing. And this is something that I think this is worth the price of admission for the show tonight. Vance and I used to meet every Saturday, and he lived across Phoenix from me, about 30 miles away. And I used to travel to see him, or he'd come and see me. And he told me one time, he said, in his NSA training, they were taught that there was a war out there in the cosmos between good and evil that had been going on for a long time, and the prize was the soul. The bad guys wanted to get basically control of the soul so they could fly it in God's face in absolute rebellion. And he said, obviously, this conflict settled on the earth. And he said, this is leading to a genesis. And this, he told me this in 1993. He said, this is leading to a genesis of research on how to penetrate and capture the human soul, but he doesn't think it's possible. He said, if it's not possible, that they were told that the globalists are going to invent a whole new species out of man. Well, without using the word from 22 years ago, because the word did not yet exist, he's talking about transhumanism, isn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, think about this, though. You mentioned earlier, and I think this is really important, the Bible, Dave, is really all about protecting the human genome as such in a way that redemption through Jesus Christ, in other words, these fallen angels' efforts, and this goes back, I guess, to Adam and Eve in the garden, too. The whole idea here is to corrupt the human genome so that there would have not have been a pure human Messiah born. So when Adam and Eve were created, they were created for a purpose so that God could bring his spirit into human form. God had never been a human, but he incarnated as a human. He was executed, placed in the grave, rose on the third day, glorified as a human being, which was the original idea with Adam and Eve. And of course, Satan managed to corrupt the human genome first through Eve, and then secondly through the Nephilim. So redemption is always associated in the context of the seed. Now, you mentioned predictive programming. You know, remember, and now remember this, remember, the flood came because this whole earth had really degenerated into a zoo, a morphology of terror and corruption. We talked about that, and sanctified sanctioning of these beings. Now, you remember, Dave, a few years back when it shocked the world when this parliamentary, you know, there was a retired minister of the Canadian Parliament. He went on record and he said he had literal proof. Remember this, that aliens exist and they're present in the earth now? Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's really interesting because a week later, and of course we know the church, the Catholic Church seems to be talking a lot about alien saviors and baptizing aliens. People can do an internet search on the Pope coming out and saying that he plans on baptizing aliens. I mean, you've never heard a statement like that coming out of the Vatican, yet now the Pope is on record talking about aliens, the fact that the Catholic Church welcomes them with open arms. I mean, could we be in for a perfect scenario to stage some kind of a major trigger where we would invite these aliens with open arms? I mean, I think it's really, I think the world is getting ready for this, Dave. I mean, I think they're getting ready to say, listen, we're not alone. Our space brothers are here. You know, I mean, what is that all about? Can you imagine what that would look like for Bible-believing Christians, Dave, while the world is mostly fixated on the Pope and this United Nations COP21 here coming this week, the United Nations Climate Conference? I mean, can you imagine, though, this scenario where we're told that, you know, this Antichrist comes and he has endowments that are not from this earth, for example. The Bible describes him as being able to call down fire from heaven. Well, if you think about the prophet Daniel, he gets even closer to this. He says that we are going to honor a strange alien god. In the 11th chapter, in 38 to 39, he talks about the estate honoring a god that our fathers knew not. So when you do an exegesis in the Hebrew, that actually says outer sphere, a strange alien god. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence. And, of course, we've got some collateral proof with things like Ezekiel's wheel. But I have to go back to something that my father told me about. Let me just set the stage very quickly. My dad worked, as I've said many times on the show, with captured German scientists at the end of what other people, not him, called Operation Paperclip. And he said he asked these scientists where they got their advanced technology, in some cases hundreds of years ahead of what we had, at least on the drawing board. And they told him to a person, we got it from extraterrestrials. And they didn't blink an eye. And I asked my dad, I said, what do you think about that? Do you think it's true? And he says, I've never seen any proof. And he said, I don't swallow stories that I can't prove because they could be cover stories. And he never ruled out the fact that this was a cover story designed to take attention away from the truth, whatever the truth would be. But he also did know about something called Operation Bluebeam, which was to simulate an alien invasion after several alien encounters using advanced technology to create pictures and images and events and so forth that really weren't there but could be manufactured out of thin air. And Sheila, I think that's where we're headed. I think we're headed for a Project Bluebeam kind of encounter.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And when you talk about Project Bluebeam, I know Art Bell had a really interesting interview about that. Now, it's interesting you mention Art, because Art Bell, actually, I don't know if you ever heard this interview, Dave. Art Bell asked Malachi Martin years ago, he said, what is the Vatican and the gang doing up there in the top of Mount Graham? And Martin's answer, if you remembered it, ignited a firestorm, and he said they're on top of that mountain because they are using this advanced technology to monitor something that is approaching the Earth. And almost to exact day 10 years later, because what's astonishing is that almost a decade later, and he predicted an actual timeline, he said they're going to call for an astrobiology study, and the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which, by the way, just released a paper this year in April calling it the greater good, we've talked about that before, in April, saying we need a one-world climate authority because we've got to stop this runaway anthropogenic global warming, Dave, all us CO2-emitting plebs here. So what was interesting is the Vatican was not only heavily invested in the study of deep space all of a sudden, but then the Pontifical Academy for Sciences, they did something very strange, Dave. They called a meeting with the top these astro guys, like astrobiologists and these powerful scientists and astronomers and theoretical physicists, like the guys that work over at CERN, and they brought in this group and they started doing something that they've never stopped discussing since that, and it was this question. And I think this is really interesting for your listeners, Dave. What would the impact on faith be, on religion, given the discovery of advanced extraterrestrial intelligence in the universe? Now, what was stunning is that this Jose Gabriel Funes, he was head of the Vatican Observatory Group, he started lobbing these little softballs to the media, and he said, you know, we're just talking about this just in case. I mean, no, you're not. You're not just inviting the world astronomists and, you know, these top astrobiologists. You're not just having this just in case. But then he starts saying something very strange, and this is what he said. He says, if you do not believe in extraterrestrial intelligence, then you're a heretic, because that puts limits on God's creative ability. Interesting. And then finally, it's very interesting to note that he said, this is quite stunning, this is Opus Dei level, Pontifical University level theology. It starts totally changing when he says, and this is, people can look this up, Jose Gabriel Funes says this, and think about this. He said, extraterrestrial intelligence disclosure, it will not challenge the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. How would you know that, Dave? That's a very mysterious statement. It's almost like you'd have to make some sort of messed up and, you know, some Faustian bargain with these people. And then Balducci came out, and he died a week later under strange circumstances when he said, hey, listen, guys, we, and this guy's a guy that has advanced degrees, this is no Johnny come lately, but he went on TV and he said, not only do aliens exist, but the Catholic Church, they're aware of it. And get this, they're morally superior to us. And a week later, Balducci was assassinated. So it's very interesting that this is a common theme. These people that come out with this, they mysteriously die too, Dave.
Well, they do, but I think the moment of disclosure is approaching, because I do think we're going to have an event, like I said, with Project Bluebeam. But let's go back to something I said earlier, and I'll start this here because we'll have to finish it on the other side of the break. But we mentioned predictive programming, and there's two movies that stand out for me. Let me see if I can squeeze in the first one before the break. Are you familiar with the movie, the 1950s version of The Day the Earth Stood Still?
I am, very.
Michael Rennie. And they come to the planet Earth, and he comes out and he delivers a speech to world leaders, and he said, we didn't care what kind of wars you waged on your own planet, but now as you're venturing out into space and you have nuclear weapons, it becomes our business. And he introduced them to this robot that they had given complete power to control their own civilization, where they would keep the peace as their prime directive and move immediately to destroy any aggressor. Well, there was a lot there with regard to robotic technology. 1950s, folks. 1950s. We were seeing this. And that the message was, aliens will come here to either destroy us or save us from ourselves. And I think that this will be the fake message that comes out of Operation Bluebeam when it happens. I think this was the granddaddy of them all. And Sheila, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. Did you ever see that movie?
I did see that movie, Dave.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I want to get your reaction to this. But if you're just tuning in, we're being joined by Sheila Zielinski. And Sheila and I are talking about something that we have never gone down this path before on the Common Sense Show, as we're exploring the possible validity and nature of the extraterrestrial question. And we're trying to do it in a responsible fashion. It's not like, hey, I saw this light over in the sky, and gee, they got to be from Mars, and they're here to kill us all. That's not what we're up to. But Sheila, well, you know, just in the minute we have left, tell the listening audience what you remember about the movie The Arrival.
Well, I remember it was very similar. I think it was very similar to, and we're going to get into this on the other side of the break, Dave, is that they were predictive programming and kind of acclimating us towards this idea that Satan would be, well, these demon-like gods would be the salvation, the saviors of mankind. So it's very similar to Arthur C. Clarke's That Childhood End, which we'll get into that series on the other side of the break, too.
Yeah.
Quite frightening.
It is. Let's develop that thought when we come back, folks. We're going to talk about those two movies, The Day the Earth Stood Still, The Arrival, and there's a new series coming out on the Sci-Fi Channel, December 14th, that we'll get into as well. Sheila, have you heard about that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I need to find that title here. Here's Live Radio at its best, but we'll get that during the break. We'll get that title. But they're going to try to promote the vision that they walk among us, but they're not really who they're telling us they are. They're going to be something far different and really our worst nightmares. For if there really were aliens, I don't know that we need to fear them as much as we need to fear who really is here. And who really is here? You're a Christian. You already know the answer to that question. Stay tuned. We'll see you on the other side of these messages.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, I want to remind everybody about the Hear the Watchman conference again. They're going to be covering alternative medicine and conservative activism to biblical prophecy and good old-fashioned evangelism. You'll be armed, inspired, and blessed. And for a complete list of the Watchman on the Wall speaking in Dallas on March 18th to the 20th, go to www.hearthewatchman.com. And remember, as I told you in the last hour, the early bird rate special ends Tuesday, December 1st. You'll save $50 a ticket. Do not delay. Please do not delay. Also, I want to remind everybody that Steve Coyle is there at your bidding to help you with your financial decisions with regard to precious metals. Don't get caught short. Don't get caught holding too many dollars, because you know that day of reckoning is coming. So Steve can be contacted at 406 406-586-4842. Again, that's Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. Also, I want to tell some of you all about a special that's going on with regard to Renaissance Precious Metals. Let me put that on hold. I'll come back to that in the third hour because it'll be more topical. Anyway, let's go back and rejoin Sheila. Sheila, before we get very far into this, let's give out your contact information, how people can follow your good work, and stay abreast of what you're doing.
Okay, well, my website is weekendvigilante.com. And, of course, starting in January, I'm going back to a one-hour daily show. So that starts the first week of January. But, yeah, almost this whole year I've been doing a one-hour daily show, so people can catch that as well. Right now I'm just doing a Saturday night show just until the end of the year, Dave, and then it's back to a one-hour daily show at 6 p.m. Eastern. So thanks for asking that information.
Well, that is really, really good information. It truly is. Okay, so we've talked about predictive programming and the ET issue with two movies, but let's get more specifically in depth with The Arrival. And my stunning recollection of The Arrival, the thing that made the impression on me, was these beings came to Earth and they had to transform from their original ugly, demonic-looking form into human form, and they had assumed positions of authority like inside NASA and our other agencies. And what they were trying to do was cause the world to heat up, talk about global warming propaganda, but cause the world to heat up in such a way that all life on the planet in 20 years, all human life would be destroyed and the aliens would just move in and take over. I see evidence, Sheila, that we're terraforming the planet. You know, Fukushima, the Gulf oil spill, so forth. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, I think that we absolutely are, Dave. And again, I mean, you mentioned the, you know, we've got something happening next week that's quite frightening. And I think it's really important that listeners understand what's going on here next week. This whole week, this Paris Climate Conference, United Nations, I mean, Dave, they are trying to ratify a one world global climate authority. And so, you know, you mentioned terraforming. We've got, you know, look at this eclectic cacophony of hell that we've got right now. We've got the GMO foods, we've got chemtrails, we've got these Franken foods that'll just, you know, what, they're one element away from plastic. That's, and the geoengineering that's happening. I think this is all part and parcel. We've got Morgellons disease. We've got all these, you know, this kind of morphology of hell with all this DNA tampering. Look at the, what it came out last week that China announced that they actually created an embryo with seven donated people. I mean, Dave, this, how much longer can this go on? I mean, coincidentally, we are looking at the transhumanist agenda, mock speeding. I mean, what does that look like? We're going to be written off as human beings. We're not even going to be human beings anymore. What is all this terraforming about? That's the big question. It's very nefarious, I believe, Dave.
Well, if they're transforming humanity, at least those that they let survive, remember they have a 90% claim on population reduction, their own words, not ours. But if they let, if they transform humans, Sheila, through transhumanism, perhaps some of the structural changes we're seeing on the planet, to our food, to our skies, to our water, the air, our climate, you know, how can we say that this isn't some form of terraforming?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that it is. And, you know, oddly, it's almost like they want to, you and I have talked about this before with these smart cities. That is the answer, really. I think what they're going to do is they're going to, you talked about predictive programming, they're going to acclimate us to this idea that we all need to get out of the rural areas and we need to acclimate into these smart cities, these urban, you know, these stack and pack micro apartments, you know, all urbanization. They don't want you in the rural areas. We've talked about that before under Agenda 21. And people have to realize that Agenda 21, Dave, it is very nefarious, and yet they always have this very benevolent spin on it. And that's what I think is so frightening. And even with this, you know, we talked about predictive programming. I think there's a very big piece of this. Now, we are going to talk about this series that's up and coming, this Arthur C. Clarke Childhood End. Now, this was written in 1953, this book. Now, Arthur C. Clarke was a really famous science fiction writer, and he had this uncanny knack for seeing the future. This guy predicted the iPad way back when, and of course that came in 2010. Of course, Clark has showed remarkable pre-science in a lot of these sci-fi classics he writes, and one of them is Childhood End. Now, in 1953, I've got this book. Now picture this: giant silver spaceships appearing in the future over every major city on the Earth. So all of a sudden you have these overlords inside these huge giant spaceships, and they come down to Earth. They ratify a one world government in which the church, of course, the church is eradicated. You don't have church anymore. You have this utopia. And oddly, only a select few people get to see these overlords. And their purpose, remember, Dave, for coming to the Earth remains shrouded as they, I guess they dodge these questions for years. But this overlord, this planetary, he's like the planetary president, this overlord, Kirillin in his name. He's an alien god. He speaks directly only to the United Nations Secretary General. Get that. I mean, isn't that stunning? So suddenly they say, well, in 50 years we're going to, you know, when humanity is kind of used to us being here and becomes totally dependent on our presence, we'll then reveal who we are. So, you know, flash forward 50 years, and suddenly these people get a glimpse of what these aliens look like. And guess what the aliens look like, Dave? Leather wings, horns, barbed tails. Well, in the Bible, that is depicted as Satan. So here you have, I mean, forget about this outdated Abrahamic religion, Christianity. Forget that. We've now merged into this cosmic intelligence called the Overmind, in which it'd be kind of similar to Vedic Hinduism, and the Nirvana, utopian, out with, you know, out with this whole idea of Christianity, out with the old, you know, that dictating God of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Satan, he's been given a bad rap. He's the good guy here, Dave. Isn't that frightening?
All I got to say are two words: Bohemian Grove. I mean, really, where they take children, and this has been well documented, this isn't conspiracy theory, this is anything, it's coincidence theory, right? Anyway, they take children, and they have these sexual orgies with child sex slaves at Bohemian Grove. Been pictures leaked about it. I mean, this is no secret. And who are they worshiping? Satan. And what's interesting, Sheila, is a lot of people talk about a higher authority ruling this planet, and that this is the planet of darkness, and the aliens rule over it, and the elite answer to the aliens, and they're here to do the aliens' bidding. Well, I agree. They are. Thing is, those aliens are just what you indicated. Horn-tipped, slithery tails, pitchforks. Satan. Satan's fallen angels. That's what I think we're really looking at here. And as I begin to look deeper into the Hollywood predictive programming, we are inundated with this. We're inundated. I mean, Sheila, look at the History Channel. The History Channel. Why is the History Channel airing the show Ancient Aliens? Is it because it's got the word ancient in the title?
Well, I think that's the whole piece, is that they'll talk about alien tech, you know, and I got to remember this fallen angel technology, as I call it. I mean, such as the Tower of Babel, you know, you could talk about a Stargate or an interdimensional portal. That could have been the key to the, you know, that, I mean, this is all right back to the Babylonian religion, the alien tech that they talk about on the Ancient Aliens. They'll take it so far as to say, well, you know, when you go back to these megalithic stones, we know that aliens created them. Well, it is true. If you look at these Peruvian megalithic stones, Dave, which they vary in weight from 120 tons plus, and it always begs the question, how do you create these bizarre angles and shapes that would make Newton salivate with a copper chisel? I mean, this andesite, it's very hard, and it's about 7 on the Mohs hardness scale, so it's kind of hard to imagine how you would angle that, let alone move it 70 miles away up a hill, down a stream. You know, whether it's Baalbek, the Great Stones in France, Stonehenge, Avebury, the Martinhenge, you know, possibly Europe's largest prehistoric structure. You know, you're talking about these things that it's glaringly obvious that we're looking at technology that would have been hard-pressed to duplicate. And so that's where those guys come short, because they never want to actually talk about the mystery of the giants, understanding the book of Genesis and the antediluvian piece of this, but Peru's really critical in unlocking all this, Dave, so that's kind of the interesting piece, is they'll take it so far. And then what's stunning is they always talk about how the Aztec and the Incas and the Mayans, they were so benevolent, and they had in their possession this knowledge. But here's the thing, they weren't benevolent. They were very malevolent. These guys were absolutely, you know, they ascribed to this bloody form of paganism. And yeah, they had very highly complex cosmological models, you know, things like metallurgy, pharmacology, sorcery, technology. Yes, they did. They had advanced levels, but they owe it to the giants. So all these ancient civilizations, you know, remember that. They're a bloody demonic system of paganism, but yet people think, oh, those nice little Mayans. No, not nice little Mayans. Mayans and Aztecs would kill you and eat you. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and they even went through their own ancestral decline, because when you eat each other's brains, which was a delicacy for them, it is not good for a human being to do such. And they went into cognitive decline as a civilization. Sheila, where do you think they got their advanced knowledge? And I'm talking about von Doniger and his work with Chariot of the Gods, and how he really noted that some of the knowledge that the Aztec and the Mayans had were way beyond what would be expected from a culture that was that primitive.
Well, again, I think they got their, this is, we're talking about antediluvian technology, and if your listeners want to go to a great, and I mean a fantastic series on this, Tim Alberino covers this extensively. It's Technology of the Fallen. He's got a series on it. Steve Quayle's got it on his website. They can just go to stevequayle.com. Amazing stuff. They really, I don't want to do it any disservice, Dave, but Timothy Alberino does a fantastic job of really breaking this down, you know, all this, because we know, again, they couldn't have possibly attained this information on their own. You've got these, you know, when you're looking at extremely highly complex cosmological models and extrasensory facilities and offspring of the giant. I mean, they taught this forbidden intelligence, the pharmacology, the technology, metallurgy, everything, astronomy, very complex. So if you think these complex systems were, you know, around, and they're still, even to this day, they say, well, how did the Egyptian pyramids get there? I mean, these things, Dave, are, again, Newton would salivate at some of the angular overtones of this, and yet, you know, it's just a fraction of what we know today. So how did this happen? But look at the Nazi bell, and look at the Nazi weaponry. I mean, it was, well, some people say the Third Reich were plugged into demon technology as well, this alien tech. So that's another whole rabbit hole, but it's interesting that they also had very complex models, and people can look up Nazi bell and the alien connection, Dave.
Well, that's true. I've actually interviewed Jim Mars on that point, and the Nazi bell was kind of a time-space machine, for lack of a better term, and a lot of people think this is how Hitler escaped, and interestingly enough, and Sheila, I'm sure you know this, all the scientists and all the guards connected to the Nazi bell were all executed.
Absolutely.
So they couldn't talk about what that was. Did you ever watch Stargate SG-1? It started out on Showtime and then migrated to the Sci-Fi Channel.
I never really did watch much of that show.
They had, for some reason, that show actually caught my fascination, and I would record it and watch it whenever I could. And sometimes I'd have a Stargate SG-1 binge. But they had a series of enemies that the people of the Earth faced. And one of them, the last enemy they faced was a group called the Aurori, and I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, but they were this group that went from planet to planet, and if you didn't convert to the way, if you didn't convert to their belief system, and they wore robes, they covered their heads. I think you see where this is going. I think it was foretelling of what's going on with these migrant invasions we're seeing in Europe. And in the last hour, Lisa Haven and I talked about how up on our Navajo and reservations, Obama plans to bring in 250,000 Muslims. I think this is foretelling that Islam, and let me get your take on this. It's my belief, and I could be wrong, that Islam is going to be used as a unification force on the planet.
Well, I think partially right. I think that there's a big Islam / Jesuit / Vatican connection as well, because there's a lot of argument, well, you know, especially when we're looking at the end time exegesis in the Bible, like releasing of the Mahdi, and that's the Islamic Antichrist, which Joel Richardson covers that a lot. But, you know, what is going to happen in the end time? Well, I don't know how many percentage of your listeners would believe in end time Bible prophecy, Dave, but Bible prophecy is stunningly accurate. There's never been anything that hasn't been, you know, come to pass, and we've still got a lot more Bible prophecies to be unleashed. And so the Bible has a stunning accuracy. So how can people just arbitrarily shrug their shoulders to what they see playing out right now with a cashless society, where mock speeding into people getting implanted? How do people just shrug this stuff off? It's okay for them to believe in all the evil that inundates us, but they just can't quite, you know, the Bible, that's just way too much for them to. Now, that Bible is just, you know, it's a bunch of guys sat around drunk over a campfire and wrote the Bible. I've actually heard people say this, and yet it's stunning that over the entire 66 books, Dave, everything is precision accuracy like no other documentation. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's not surprising because it's divinely inspired, but I do agree. Well, Sheila, we've kind of laid a lot of cards on the table. We've been all over the map, so to speak. How do you see this unfolding? Where do you see this all going in the near term?
Well, what I see unfolding is I see that we're going to be, again, we're, I think it's coming very soon. They're going to have a scenario where, oh, guess what? And by the way, we've met them, and they're here. And I think that's really what we're getting acclimated to see, especially by the Vatican. This is well documented. People can look up how we have been predictively programmed, and especially with all the Hegelian dialect, to, you know, to embrace this scenario where we're going to see an alien savior, Dave. I think it's coming, and I think people have to get ready for it. And what is the implication, do you think, personally, Dave, on what does that look like for Christians when we see this scenario where an alien God is presented to us? It's quite stunning. And I mean, even the Bible talks about, you know, people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. And, you know, you talked about Vance Davis and Bill Pollack. I think it's just really very interesting that even NSA operatives, they have talked about NATO and NSA. They're aware of the, you know, they're aware of extraterrestrial civilization. And is it just that they haven't quite thought about how to present this to the masses, Dave? Because they're certainly running roughshod over us and now enough to say, hey, listen, you know, so could we be looking at a scenario? That's what I think.
Well, that's a mouthful. It's a lot to digest. I personally believe that it's going to start with a false flag event. It's going to start maybe with, I don't think it's going to be like, well, let's go back, and I know you know about this episode, I'm sure, because it's so popular. The old Twilight Zone show and the episode called To Serve Man. Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely familiar with that.
Yeah, and what it was is these groups, and I've seen it so many times, I used to watch this religiously when I was younger, the Canaanites. They came to Earth, and they brought great presence of joy and wonderment, and there was no hunger, no starvation, no shortage, and people would go on these trips sponsored by the Canaanites, and they wouldn't come back because they were cannibals. And they finally, the people of the earth finally decoded the book To Serve Man, which was written in the Canaanites language, and it was a cookbook. It was how to cook a human. Now, Rod Serling had a morbid sense of humor, but I think it speaks to one of the fears that a lot of people have about these fallen angels that are masquerading as aliens and what truly they're up to. And, I mean, could it come in with a false flag? Possibly. Could it come in with, here I am with all these gifts and we come to you in peace, and then it's all about subjugation? But I will tell you, Sheila, I do believe the Muslims are going to be used as a force of unification. And let me give you an example. It was just yesterday that Norway announced that no one could publicly display a cross. Norway, of all nations. Why? Because we don't want to make our future Muslim visitors and guests that we've invited in to feel uncomfortable with the Christian cross. I think Islam is going to be used to supplant Christianity. It's going to be pushed out of the way, kicked to the curb, because we Christians have the ability to discern evil when we see it. We have the ability to discern alien from fallen angel. And I think this is why the Christian religion is going to be targeted and targeted hard.
Well, you're right. I think it will have something to do with the radical Muslim terrorist attack. Now, you know, you talked earlier, you wrote an article in which you exposed, TNT's Legends, that depicted a radical Muslim terrorist attack upon Paris, none other than. And the show was really representative of what we're talking about here, Dave, with this predictive programming. When Hollywood, or Hollywood as I call them, they reveal a major event or a major shift, and, well, I mean, we see it in everything. We see it in Captain America, Man of Steel. We see it in Hunger Games. But picture this, Dave, and I want your audience to picture this, because this is frightening. If suddenly we wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden on every major news station across the globe, here's the president of the world standing there on the world stage with them, good old George Bergoglio Francis, who reportedly took his title off Francis of Assisi, but that's a whole other show. Here's the 900-year-old of the prophecy of the Catholics coming to life. Hey, we have an announcement to make. They're here. I mean, that really is going to be, I think, the catalyst for this full-spectrum dominance and complete subjugation that you're talking about, Dave.
Well, I have to say, sadly, I think you're right. Drawing upon my own sociology background, there's a truism. When a superior culture encounters an inferior culture, one of two things happens. The inferior culture is either totally obliterated and destroyed, or it's absorbed into the superior culture. And if we look at these beings, these fallen angels, if you will, masquerading as future ETs visiting the planet, they will have superior technology. They will, on the surface, be a superior culture. And I do think the danger for absorption or destruction is certainly there.
Well, you're right. And again, we're living in a world of complete psyops to prepare the people about what's really going to come regarding the Earth and its guided future. And now, I know you've written an article on this, and I know that sometimes people just write us off as complete tinfoil hat kooks when we talk about this. But, I mean, if you look around, Dave, every single thing on every horizon, we're talking about Caligula-level craziness inundating us daily. You can't even make this stuff up. I mean, the profound news that's happening around the planet. Come on, Dave. People must inherently think, my God, what is going on? I mean, there is something weirdly off with all of this. People can just feel it in their bones, Dave. So whether it's psyops, and I mean, people can look up the DARPA projects they've been doing in the last year. If you want to see some frightening realities, you won't be writing us off as tinfoil hat kooks.
No, it's hard to know where to leave this because it's such an open-ended question, but I feel the time is drawing near. And I know people have been calling for disclosure for well over 25 or 30 years, but I think the time is now because I think the event has to coincide with planetary unification, and it'll be a vehicle towards that end. And I do think that they're going to try to fake being Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Antichrist will come out of this movement?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think they're setting us up for that, absolutely. And, of course, Time's Man of the Year, the Pope, you know, if you ask people out there, they're going to say, well, who's the leader of the Christian world? This is just a truth. People would say the Pope, Dave, and he reportedly represents, what, 1.8 billion people on the planet. And again, so, you know, you've got a first Jesuit Pope, you've got all this, you know, this culmination, this coalescence of them talking about, hey, our alien brothers, and by the way, they're morally superior. So that right there really, that's a true marking, isn't it? And I believe this is all pointing towards opening us up to Revelation and the Revelation 13, the end time Antichrist. I believe the Pope is either a type of false prophet or the false prophet that works lockstep with the Antichrist, Dave.
I've had the same thought, and then I get branded as being anti-Catholic, which is kind of interesting since I've worshipped in the Catholic Church, and a lot of my relatives are Catholic, but let's not confuse people with the truth. But I do agree with you. This Pope is not of Christian origin. He is not a Christian man. He is he's doing a disservice to his own faith and his own people. And you notice, I've never ever said this about a Pope before, but he scares me. Just looking at the man creeps me out. Well, Sheila, we're just about out of time, so I wanted to go back and have you review with people how they can follow your good work and listen to your upcoming show and visit your website and tell us what direction you're going to take your show.
Well, thanks for that. Well, in the month of December coming up, of course, I have Steve Quayle coming on next week, Tom Horn on his transhumanism documentary, Inhuman, stunning compilation. And, of course, Dr. Tom Horn and Steve Quayle have covered a lot of the transhumanist agenda. Steve did it with his book, Xenogenesis. And that's really where I think things are headed. Between the Vatican and this whole alien ET arrival of a super savior, I think we've got a lot coming at us, Dave, certainly. But people can catch my work. Again, I'm going back to a one-hour daily format on the show starting January 2016. And certainly there's going to be a lot coming at us in 2016, so there's going to be a lot to get into. Again, weekendvigilante.com. And also I'd like to promote my book website, greengospel.ca, which just really highlights how environmentalism has really become a new religion. And, of course, what's happening in Paris right now, I don't know if your listeners know this, Dave, but actually they're doing sort of pre-crime arresting climate deniers already down in
We talked about
Paris.
That the last hour. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Quite frightening.
House arrest. House arrest for these people. You're right. Sheila, my dear, we are out of time. I am so thankful to be your friend, and I'm really grateful that you came on our show tonight. Best of luck returning to the airwaves. Steve's going to be a busy man next week because he's on my show next Sunday night as well. Sheila, thanks so much. You've been a delight.
Thanks, Dave. It's always a pleasure. God bless.
We'll see you in hour number three with Katie Whalen, our health reporter, and James White, and we're going to talk about all the news that you need to know. See you in hour number three.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.